More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, the approval trap. Tired of trying to always guess what will make everyone happy and never quite getting it right? We'll help you stop jumping through hoops and finally find peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, the approval trap. We're talking about this from two sides. The first side is, are you in a relationship with someone who seems impossible to please? You try really hard to make them happy, but they always find something to complain about, grump about, criticize you for. What do you do? 877-573-7825. Of course, the other side of that is maybe you find yourself just in general taking care of people but never quite getting your own needs met. Maybe you feel guilty bringing up your concerns or worry about telling people what you need for fear of upsetting them. We want to help you on either side of that approval trap and get over the disease to please so that you can be authentically generous and still be able to take care of yourself. We'll unpack how to do that and what that really means in the course of the show, but join the conversation at 877-573-7825.
And I think that for so many of our wonderful listeners, the disease to please chafes, because we don't think that there's something wrong with us trying to please people, because we're trying to be the light of Christ in the world. We're trying to bring God's love to people. We're trying to emotionally and relationally and sometimes physically wash the feet of others. We feel like this is our task as Catholic Christian people. But it can get imbalanced so quickly. And not just in the relationship, but in our minds. So if we are constantly out of our own need, not because God necessarily revealed to us personally, hey, I really want you to serve this person in this way, but because we think we're being like Christ and we're striving to look like Christ to the world, sometimes we can start making those other people elevated above our relationship with God Himself. Like, oh, I'll pray later. I've got to make sure this person isn't unhappy with me. Oh, I'll take that to Mass or confession later, but I really, really have to like make sure that I'm getting this right so that I look like Him to other people, that maybe the Holy Spirit can squeeze into this relationship and get through to this person. That maybe .. Instead of it just being about, it's not even about aggrandizing ourselves. It's about taking this other person and their grumpiness and their lack of giving you anything positive in return, and they actually end up becoming more of a focal point to us than our relationship with God.
Well,
can be sometimes.
And you know, and you pointed out some really kind of obvious times when, you know, it becomes problematic. For example, when we're sacrificing our spiritual relationship for the sake of this particular issue, but it plays out in other ways too. So, for instance, you know, to love somebody means to work for their good, and mm-hmm. if somebody's behaving badly, the most loving thing I can do is say, "Hey, you know, let's talk about this."
Instead of trying to appease them.
Exactly. And we're in that case, we're still putting that person on the altar in our lives instead of what God is calling us to, because we're actually not loving them the way we should as Christians. So, you know, the impulse to try to make other people happy superficially seems like a good one, but really it robs us of the ability to be authentically generous and authentically loving, because it stops us from actually working for the other person's good in ways that are also good for us.
Now, if you're listening to this right now and you're gripping your steering wheel tighter, or you're going, I'm trying so hard, I'm doing everything I can, don't tell me I'm doing this wrong, don't tell me that I've got to do something differently, ask yourself this question: how's that working out? How's it working out for you? Are you feeling more run down, more tense? Do your shoulders go up around your ears every time that person texts or calls you, or you hear their voice? Are they becoming better people because of all this striving that you're doing? If any of those things are going, maybe you're right, well, that's your cue to call today. Let's help you be the light of Christ to that person, but do it in a way that's healthy, effective, allows you to flourish, and calls them to be their best self. Sounds like a good thing to do today? Well, let's get started. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, you know, how could theology help me deal with these practical concerns I've got in these relationships with people who are impossible to please, or in those times when I'm afraid to express my needs or concerns because I might displease somebody? Well, great question. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he reflected on a kind of a big issue, right? He sort of asked the question, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And he unpacked that question over the course of about 5 years in his Wednesday audiences, and those audiences became what we call the theology of the body.
And when we look at the theology of the body, we get the insight that people pleasers often confuse authentic generosity with simply keeping others happy. The theology of the body affirms that we are created to give of ourselves and to work for one another's good. But it also reminds us of two very important qualifiers. Firstly, real love is characterized by mutual self-giving. Each person in a godly relationship is called to work for the other's good, like the Trinity. Because see, St. Bonaventure compared the Trinity to a three-bucket water wheel, and each bucket is pouring itself out, yet it never runs dry because it's constantly being refilled by the other buckets. Being made in God's image, our relationships are meant to reflect this holy dynamic. If we feel obliged to take care of others but never feel cared for ourselves, the balance is broken. That's not how God designed for us to thrive, nor does it allow our relationships to become icons of the love that exists at the heart of God.
And second, the theology of the body essentially calls us to work from love rather than for love. Let me explain it this way. People pleasing isn't real generosity because it stems from the idea that I have to earn other people's love by jumping through hoops. And when we are working for love, we give not so much as a true expression of generosity and love in a healthy relationship, but because we feel it's the price we have to pay to get someone to love us back. You know, and ironically, that can actually stop us from being truly loving, because we'll tend to avoid doing what's best for someone if it risks their disapproval. By contrast, when we work from love, secure in our dignity and worth as children of God, we're free to give generously and without fear. And that confidence empowers us to do what's truly best for ourselves, for others, and our relationships, even when it's hard. You know, God doesn't want us stuck in a trap of people-pleasing. He wants us to experience relationships that fill us and free us to love as He loves. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life, on our show titled The Approval Trap. Is there someone in your life that you find impossible to please, but you just keep trying and failing? Or, you know, is it one of the situations where you feel like a lot of your relationships are one-sided? Maybe you feel like you're taking care of other people but never getting your needs met. You struggle or even feel guilty to bring up your concerns, or you worry about telling people what you need for fear of upsetting them. Are you afraid of conflict or risking other people's disapproval? You might have the disease to please, if that's the case, and we want to help you find the cure today on More to Life. Give us a call. The number again, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you today and we ask you to help us to overcome the temptation to focus so much on pleasing others that we forget that our primary job is to please you. Help us to have the courage to love others even when they become frustrated with us for it. Help us to remember that loving others means working for their ultimate good, and sometimes working for someone's ultimate good means saying hard things. Help us to remember that in relationships, you call us, through your servant St. John Paul, to be in mutually self-giving relationships, where each person is committed to taking care of the other's needs. And it's not just us who have to do all the work to maintain the relationship or make everyone else happy at the risk of our own well-being. Help us to be able to live the love that exists at the heart of the Trinity, a love that is mutually self-giving and generous and works for the ultimate good of everybody involved. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled The Approval Trap, and we're sort of looking at people-pleasing on two sides. One, are you in a relationship with somebody who seems impossible to please? Maybe that's your spouse, who is always kind of moving the target for what it takes to make them feel loved, to make them happy with you. Maybe it's your parent, you know, and you want to honor your mother and your father, but they keep putting up kind of demands, expectations that are impossible to meet. It could be anybody, really. On the other side of that coin is maybe you feel like your relationships in general are one-sided, and you find yourself constantly jumping through hoops to try to get other people's approval. You have a hard time setting limits or saying no because you're afraid of disappointing people. We want to talk about overcoming the disease to please and how that's different from authentic generosity in a healthy, loving relationship. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Karen, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I was listening. It was pretty interesting. You talk about love and avoiding, you might be a people pleaser.
Sure.
Dealing with my husband, he tends to, I can't just, if he should have a bad behavior, I can't just say, hey, let's talk about this. Because he doesn't do anything wrong, so to speak.
He says he doesn't do anything wrong? Is that what you're saying, Karen?
Oh,
he'll just be like, I'm perfect.
Big time he'll defend his behavior big time, and so it seems like I always have to go an octave higher, and I'm not much of a yeller. It just unnerves me. And
yeah.
So when I have to go an octave higher, I always feel kind of bad, but it seems like the only time he's going to listen to me.
Does he actually listen to you then?
I can get him to be quiet enough, and then I walk away. I think sometimes he thinks about it. He doesn't come back and say anything, but his behavior will change a little
bit. But you don't leave the conversation with any kind of a plan in place that where you two actually talk through, okay, how's it going to be different next time?
No, never. You can't do that. I've tried. You can't do that with him. I've tried that. I point blank tell him what I don't appreciate, but it's always at the octave level higher. And what I expect.
So, okay.
I don't need to be taught that way, too, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got so a couple of things that I'll suggest to you, and then a couple of resources that I want to give to you here as well. So, when you have this dynamic, you know, it is difficult to confront somebody, and it's, you know, nobody wants the tension, nobody wants the you know, the conflict, and that's kind of what he's counting on. He's created a system where you're either afraid to confront him, you know, because of the drama that's going to cause, or, you know, just don't need the exhaustion from it. But it's important to be able to get to the place where you can withstand that anyway. And the best way to kind of defuse somebody who approaches you like that, so you go to him and you say, you know, honey, I was really hurt when you did thus and such. And he gives you 20 explanations for why that was perfectly legitimate and why you're the one who's the problem. The best response to that is to say, you know, I'm really not asking your permission to be offended by you. I'm telling you that what you're doing is offensive. And if you love me, you'll stop. And we'll talk about how to change the next time this comes up. And that's the conversation I need to have. And then he says, well, Karen, you know, that I can't believe you'd say that to me because blah, 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 and you, and this and that and the other. And you look at him and say, again, I'm not asking your permission to be offended by you. I'm telling you that your behavior is offensive, and we need to talk about how to handle it better next time. And you use the broken record technique instead of taking it up an octave, because what happens when you take it up an octave and start yelling, it allows him to think of himself as the victim, which he already does, right? Ah, she's picking on me. And then she yells at me, right? And then he doesn't have to change because you're a terrible person. And it's a game that people who adopt the persona that he adopts play. And it prevents them from ever having to take responsibility for their stuff, right? But if you use the broken record technique, you're creating a quiet space where all he can do is reflect on his own behavior. Because you're not yelling at him. You're not escalating things. And you're not letting him off the hook. The second thing is the conversation, you have to keep bringing this back up until it gets resolved. You can't ever walk away. What you can do is say, okay, well you're clearly, honey, you're not in a place where we can have this productive conversation, but we're not done with it. And when you calm down and are willing to have this with me, we're going to pick it up again. And then he comes to you and says, hey, Karen, what's for dinner? And you say, you know, I'd love to have that conversation about dinner with you, but until we can resolve that discussion I started before, and until you're willing to take responsibility for the way you hurt me and talk about how we're going to handle it differently, you're not a safe person to have a dinner conversation with. And you just broken record over and over and over again, that whole thing. And then he walks away. I can't believe you're still holding this against me. Why can't you just tell me what's for dinner? Blah, blah, blah. And he walks away and he comes back like 2 hours later and says, so where's the kid? And you're like, you know, I'd love to be able to talk to you about that, but until we can have this conversation about how you hurt me and how we're going to handle it differently the next time, you're not a safe person to have a parenting conversation with. And you just will not let things move on, because that's his whole game. The game is, you know, I'm going to avoid responsibility and blame Karen so that she'll get tired of bringing it up, and or she'll escalate to the point where she yells at me.
And then I win. Because once you're escalating and yelling at him, he's got all the power. He knows he holds all the cards, and he is getting some satisfaction from that, as awful as he pretends it is, or whatever that is. So this whole different shift in dynamic that Greg is talking about can really change a lot of things.
And, you know, even if his behavior changes slightly after you've yelled at him, it doesn't last, right? Because you haven't had a real conversation about where he takes responsibility. Now, this, what I'm suggesting, can be hard to do. And the dynamic that you described here almost always indicates a need for professional help. And I would really encourage you to seek help through CatholicCounselors.com or through a local resource that you trust, because this is something that's very hard for you to handle on your own, but it is deeply offensive to your dignity as a beloved daughter of God, and it's offensive to your marriage, and it's offensive, honestly, he's acting in a way that's beneath his call to be a godly husband. And so to love him is really to stand up to this, to learn to stand up to this and say, honey, I love you, and I appreciate, you know, whatever you're struggling with or whatever wounds you've got that make you act like this, but this isn't okay. And marriage is giving us the grace to heal those wounds, and I'm going to insist that we do the work to heal them. And then you make an appointment with somebody. Whether he wants to go or not, you can start making some changes by learning how to set these boundaries more effectively that make it more difficult for him to continue in this destructive behavior. So, Karen, I would suggest reflecting on what we said here in the call, trying to do the things on your own, but I do think that you're ultimately going to need to get some help to get additional tools. And if we can help you out, I hope you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. These suggestions will get you started, but we'd love to walk you through the rest of the way. And again, you can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled The Approval Trap, and we're looking at this from two sides. One, maybe you're in a relationship with somebody who seems impossible to please for whatever reason. You work really hard to tiptoe around them, to do what they ask you to do, to try to make them happy, but it's never quite enough. Or the other side of it, you know, where in general, your relationships are kind of one-sided because you're afraid to ask other people to tell other people what you need or ask for them to address your concerns because you don't want their disapproval. Let's talk about the disease to please today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're taking your calls on the approval trap, the tendency to people please, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Christina. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for what you do. I have the disease. I have the pleasing disease, and I've been working through it, and it's going well. But I now have a sixth grader and a high schooler who are amazing kids, but I find ourselves entering this tunnel of, like, raging hormones and not communicating well, and mine are also raging. And I just need some tips on how to be firm, because I want to do my job first before pleasing them. But at the same time, I'm always worried that are they not going to love me? They're not going to come to me with their problems. Oh. So I had a really rough day yesterday, and I was like, I need help. I need to read a book.
Can you give me an example of a situation?
First of all, boys, girls, one of each? What are we talking in terms of?
I have a sixth grade girl and a ninth grader boy. Very different.
Boy, okay.
One's outspoken, once shy. So
gotcha.
An example would be they're coming from school, and my son looks like he's super, like, dehydrated. He's about to pass out. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Are you all right? And he just doesn't talk to me. And it's like, no, hi, Mom, how are you? And I know it's a little thing, but I'm used to, like, hello, look at me. How are you? How was your day? You know? And so I know they're little things, but I want to make sure that we don't lose them as we get older.
So how did you address that?
A little bit. So I told him, are you okay? And he's like, yes, I'm fine. So I gave him space. And then, but I was having a rough day already with a sixth grader. So then I just left him. I didn't go back to see how he was doing. I told my husband, I'm not doing well today. And he took care of everything. But I felt bad because I left him with everything. And I'm like, this is only the beginning of things. How do I prepare? Or, I don't know. I guess I did that, but.
You did not. You did not do bad at all. First of all, I'm applauding you. You actually know how you were feeling. No, I want to say this. There are too many of us when we are, because you said you're hormonal too, and when we are going through different shifts, if we know what's going on for us and we can say, if I get into this situation right now, I'm going to make it worse. I'm going to take it too personally. It's going to be either worse for both of us or just myself, and we step back and pass the baton to our spouse. That's not a failure.
Yeah, no, you didn't personally handle it, but you did handle it by delegating it to your husband, and he was able to step into the breach. So that's a good thing. So listen, Christina, a couple other questions I want to ask you, and then we want to give you some feedback, but we're coming up against our hard break here. So we want to ask you to hold on over the break, and we'll have a few more things for you after that, if you wouldn't mind hanging on. So, but we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about the disease to please and that approval trap. Are you in a relationship with someone who seems impossible to please? It could be a spouse, could be a parent, could be really anybody. And you work really hard to either try to tiptoe around the conflict or work hard to make them happy, but they're still critical, still displeased for whatever reason. Or maybe it's just that you have a hard time letting people know what your needs are, expressing your concerns, addressing those things, because you don't want to make people upset, and you just kind of hate the conflict, so you avoid the issues. You're trying to be generous, but it's not really working for you or anybody else. Let's talk about how to overcome that disease to please at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be talking with Christina and you.
Why would God permit the devil to tempt his son in the desert? The symbolism behind those temptations, as provided by the Catholic Catechism, gives great insight into God's rationale. Jesus, driven by the Spirit, goes into the desert to live in solitude for 40 days. At the close of that period of prayer and fasting, the devil arrives to attempt to compromise Jesus' filial devotion to God, his Father. Satan tempts Jesus three times, and Jesus rebuffs him three times. This is a recapitulation of Satan's seduction of Adam. Only this time, he loses to the new Adam. It is also a recapitulation of Israel in the desert, when the Hebrews provoked God during their 40-year sojourn. In contrast, Jesus is totally obedient to his Father's will. Jesus' victory over temptation is a prelude to his victory over sin on the cross. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. We parents are only human, and that's a good thing. But it also means that sometimes we say and do things around our family that we wish we hadn't. When that happens, have you ever considered apologizing to your child or spouse? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You can say something like, you know, I can tell I really hurt you when I yelled at you earlier today. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Some parents worry that apologizing might undermine their authority. But for Christians, true authority isn't about power and control. Rather, it flows from trusting, healthy relationships. Asking forgiveness helps to build that good kind of authority. It shows our kids that our relationship with them is based on love, truth, and generosity. Most importantly, it shows that God is the ultimate authority in our home. When God rules our lives, we don't need to constantly project some false image of our own perfection. We can admit our mistakes because our identity and worth are rooted in our inherent dignity as God's beloved children, a dignity that doesn't depend on our perfection, but rather on God's limitless love for us. To get more help and resources, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Back, folks, you are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled The Approval Trap, and we're talking about the pleasing disease. Are you in a relationship with someone who's impossible to please? Or maybe, you know, just in general, you're afraid to let people know what your needs are or express your concerns for fear of displeasing people. Either way, we want to help you overcome that disease to please. Today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Christina in Houston. Christina, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for hanging on. So just to recap, you have a sixth and ninth grade kids. Your daughter is in sixth grade. Yeah. Son is in ninth grade. And you were kind of asking, you know, how could you be more firm with them when you're the kind of person who tends to just want to make everybody happy? And you were giving us one example, but can you give me an example of a time when you're having a hard time being firm for fear of, you know, displeasing or alienating kids in some way?
I can't think of one right now. I'm a bit blank, but because I tend to be someone that you know, who is firm. I fight it with myself. I fight it inside, internally.
Okay.
And then afterwards, I feel like it brings me to the point where it's small things, but I'm like, okay, I'll let you do this. Or I'll say no, but then I will say, okay, but do you really want to? Like, they love sweets. And I know it's not a big deal again, but then I'm like, no, we've had too many today. And then later, they're like, come on, and then I can say, okay, fine, have another cookie or something. With bigger things, I tend not to, but I'm fighting it inside. And then afterwards, I'm in that guilt of like, did I not do a good job?
And so a lot of this is kind of internal. A lot of this is you beating up on yourself for being afraid that if you do something, it's going to push them away.
Correct.
Yeah, and I'm really feeling that what you're saying is you're doing your darndest to do the internal dialogue on this, but there's something that you're afraid of, that you're afraid that these people that you love so much, that you want a relationship with for the rest of your life, are going to back off and somehow
So where does that come from? Any sense of that?
I don't know. But it is scary because there's so much around that we feel like we need to protect them from.
Yes.
And it's almost that anxiety of like, there's nothing right now. So it's silly that I'm, you know, feeling this way because there's nothing presently happening. But it's almost the
anticipation. Well, can I ask you though, Christina, I mean, in growing up, did you feel like the people were there for you the way you needed them to be?
Yes. My parents were wonderful. Yes. They were.
It doesn't have to be an excuse. What I'm also hearing is that you're so overwhelmed by the world as it is today for your children that this internal dialogue is saying, unless I keep them close, unless they love me every minute of every day in the way that I want them to, I won't have the influence that I need to have to keep them safe and keep them on the right road.
So let me just offer some thoughts on, you know, what it means to be firm in a way that is good for both you and the kids. And also maybe some resources to help you feel more confident in your role as a you know, strong Catholic mom.
Yeah, that we can definitely do for you.
So we were actually talking about this, you know. We have this Catholic Home platform. It's spelled HOM, stands for Households on Mission, and every month we do a live Q&A with all the subscribers. And last night we were talking about this idea of claiming our authority as parents. What does that mean? And we talked about sort of three different parenting styles, right? So there's the permissive parenting style where we just sort of give kids everything they want because we want them to be happy.
And not just occasionally like the things you just mentioned, but sort of as our standard.
And then there's the authoritarian style of parenting, which tends to be heavy-handed and, you know, do it because I say so and very kind of punishment-oriented.
And not based on any kind of genuine relationship with your kids, but because I'm the parent and you're the child, this is the way it's going
to
be.
And it tends to be pretty arbitrary, right? Whereas then the third type of parenting style is authoritative. And the authoritative parenting style basically is concerned with, how can I help this child learn to pursue the things they want in healthy, godly ways, right? So it's not when a kid comes to you and says, can I do this or can I have that? It's not, you don't answer based on your feeling. You answer based on how can I help this child learn to pursue this thing, whatever it is, in a healthy, godly way. So you're not making arbitrary rules, or you're not, you know, just saying yes because they wore you down, or no because you don't feel like it. You're saying, let's talk about how we could, is it possible to do this in a healthy, godly way? And if it is, then I'm going to help you figure that out. And if it's not, I have to say no. And it's based on that standard, right? So the kid comes to you and asks, you know, can I go do this thing? Well, you know, I'll give you one example that we had a conversation with a parent on home, right? The kid wanted to go to a sleepover, but the parents had already planned to go to a mass at a certain time the next day, and also it was their grandparents' birthday, and they had wanted to go to that celebration. And so initially, the mom was like, well, I don't want to say yes, because this is going to cause some difficulties for us, but I also, if I say no, then the kid's going to be disappointed. And so I said, well, is it possible for you to help your child figure out a way to get what they want in a way that doesn't undermine your other commitments? And she said, well, when you kind of put it that way, yeah, I think we could go to mass at this other time, and the time to get together with grandma is flexible, so we could work it out so that she could go to the sleepover, but we would pick her up at this time. And so she was able to kind of figure out a plan to be appropriately permissive, but also firm in the sense of, but you still have to maintain these other commitments. Because originally the kid was like, well, do I have to go to the party? Do I have to go to mass? And so she was able to kind of provide a way to meet the child's needs or desires that also taught the child that it was important to make room for those obligations. And so it wasn't a matter of just saying yes because I didn't want the conflict, or no because I didn't feel like it. It was a matter of teaching the child how to do what they wanted to do in a way that was well balanced and respectful of their both family and spiritual obligations.
Now, Christine, I want you to hear what happened here. First, she said no. And then she gave it some thought and some prayer and some consultation with the group on Catholic HOM, and was able to go back and say, you know, as I'm mulling this over, as I've prayed about this, I've come up with a couple of ideas that might make it work all the way around. Let's discuss that. Now, she didn't do a bad thing by saying no. In fact, by saying no and then going back and having a conversation that proposed, hey, this is how it can work well, the child then saw, wait a minute, I can count on mom to think things through and eventually be reasonable. I am now more prepared to deal with a lot of other relationships in my life, such as my boss in the future, where I go and I ask for a raise or I ask for help with a project, and first they say no and then they come around because I've presented reasonable things. You're not meant to get everything that comes out of your mouth perfectly right every single time the first time. You need to give yourself and your kids the grace to know that we can come around to our wisdom.
You know, and by giving yourself that grace, that enables you to embrace that more authoritative approach to parenting, where you're not just basing whether you say yes or no on how you feel about the thing, but on whether you can see a healthy, godly way to help this child get their needs or desires met.
Now, one of the things that you did naturally that I am going to encourage you to start planning into your life, and again, I love the fact that you know where you are hormonally, cyclically, all these things, and or even if you just had a rotten day, plan in pauses. You know, if your child comes to you with something, or even comes home grouchy, you can take that pause and either give them the time, like you gave your child the other day, to decompress after school to process their own thoughts, to get re-regulated, or if they're coming to you with something that you're sort of feeling that internal panic about, you just say, okay, let me take some time to really think about that and pray about that. I've got a lot on my mind right now, but I promise I'll get back to you. You don't have to do this immediate, perfect response all the time.
All right, so Christina, I told you I'd also give you a resource. And I'd love for you to become part of the Catholic Home community. And again, that's spelled Catholic, H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And what it is, it's an app. You can download it wherever you get your apps. And rather than just being static content, it's opportunity to get daily coaching and community with other, so you can interact with Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches anytime you have a parenting question about living your faith at home, a question about building a stronger, more loving, connected family life. There's a great community of other parents just like you there who are doing this work, who are there supporting each other every day.
And you know, when you went through, you know, what we were talking about when you first came on the air, you were like, I need a book. Well, this allows you to have answers right literally in your back pocket. You know, you're going through something like this, you type it out in the question and answer section, you're going to get a response.
Yeah, I mean, got books, but it's better than a book because it's tailored specifically to what your needs are. Plus, there's tons of creative content, podcasts, activities, ways to make living your faith at home simple and fun. Just a ton of great resources.
We even have a monthly calendar that not only has all the saints' days and super easy ways to celebrate them, but really fun days too. Everything from, you know, National Hot Dog Day to Ice Cream Day. Those things that as moms we go, oh, if I only knew that was happening 3 days ago, I would have done something cute about it. And ways to celebrate it that are easy. We're all about making family life deeply spiritual, a whole lot of fun, and healthier and more connected.
And helping parents just feel more confident in their role of raising godly kids. So if that sounds interesting to you, we'd love to have you be part of that community. Download the Catholic Home app and become a subscriber to the community, because we can continue these conversations about not just this topic, but really any other issue that's going on. Thanks so much for the call, Christine. I hope that these suggestions will get you started, and we hope to see you on Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show today titled The Approval Trap, as we talk about those people who are either impossible to please in our lives or that fear that we have inside that we might displease someone by asking them for something, asserting our needs, addressing concerns, all of that. We want to help you overcome the disease to please so that you can be more authentically loving and generous. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ.
It's a kind of tough message from St. Paul here, but a reminder.
Oh, St. Paul's always pretty a heavy hitter with all of us.
Well,
he doesn't pull any punches.
And he's reminding us that we have to overcome that temptation to always be pleasing others, because we can't really be loving if we're focusing on pleasing, because loving somebody means working for their ultimate good. And sometimes that means being generous and going above and beyond. Sometimes that means saying, hey, I love you too much to let you keep acting like that. And risking their disapproval. And we have to be free to do whatever love requires of us in the moment in order to really make sure that we are placing God in the first place in our lives as opposed to other people's feelings. Just a reminder from St. Paul, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. When we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about the approval trap and those people who are hard to please in your life. Stick around for that when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Approval Trap, as we talk about those people who are impossible to please and also our struggle with the pleasing disease. 877-573-7825.
Right before we go to our next caller from Nebraska, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 12 years with us. KQHE 92.7 serves Fairbanks, Alaska.
Congratulations to Steve Mullins and his great team at Queen of Heaven and Earth Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, remember to support your local EWTN Catholic radio station wherever you are. And with that, let's go to our next caller.
We're talking with Heath, who is listening in Nebraska.
Heath on Spirit Catholic Radio. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, Greg and Lisa. Yeah, wanted to your initial opening triggered kind of a thought in my head. So my wife and I, both Creole Catholics, however, when we got married, we were not practicing Catholics, and so we had kind of done non-denominational, different bouncing around different churches. And then once we had children, we decided, you know, we both knew Catholic best, so we started raising our children Catholic, and it went fairly well. You know, our families are kind of, her side of the family was Catholic, but now they, like, have nothing to do with the church. And then my side of the family, my mom is the only practicing Catholic. So anyway, as our children got older, started to see a lot of, in spite of the best intentions to try to get them involved in religious education and really involved in the church, they, especially our two oldest, really started pushing back really, really hard. And it just started causing a lot of conflict, a lot of fights every time we would go to church. And so through the course of everything, decided, okay, let's try something different, because my main focus was we can bring them back to the Catholic Church. I just want them to know Christ right now. So we started going to a non-denominational church that had a good youth program there, and it did seem to kind of open up some doors for our younger ones. Our two older ones, however, were very against any kind of church at the time. But then now, so fast forward, I still am a practicing Catholic. I've continued to go to the Catholic Church and then go to the non-denominational church that my wife prefers and the kids prefer, so I go with them as well. But when I do practice or try to get more involved in my Catholic faith, I feel definite disapproval from my wife. She definitely is against the Catholic Church. She will not go to Mass with me. I had started going to daily Mass and got some disapproval there, saying, you're kind of getting a little obsessed here. And so I find myself kind of hiding practices. Like, if I want to do a rosary, I'm just like, hey, I'm going for a walk. I don't say, hey, I'm going for a walk to do a rosary, because I know that will probably trigger some disapproval.
Heath, let me ask you a question, because I understand the dynamic, but I want to ask a deeper question here. If we take it off the topic of religion for a second, if something's important to you but not important to your wife, are you ever able to get her to come around to kind of seeing what's good about it? You know, or is it just sort of, you know, she is, if she disapproves of it, whatever it is, you just have to kind of agree to disagree.
I don't want to give just one side of the story, but yeah, that's my perception of it oftentimes.
Well, the reason I ask that is because these it's easy to kind of focus on these things and see them strictly as religious differences, but what you're really describing is a failure of respect. And I wanted to see whether that was just around religion or if that was around everything in the relationship.
Yes, we're willing to let a lot of stuff go that we figure is just our preferences or an earthly thing. But the minute we start talking about our hearts, our souls, our children's souls, our relationship with God, it touches a nerve more. We know it's more important. So that's what we start to say, this dynamic isn't okay.
So let me explain what I mean by a failure of respect. So when you respect somebody, you're not just kind to them. You try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in the things they find true, good, and beautiful. Right? So, you know, if Lisa came to me and said, Greg, I have this love of widgets, you know, and I couldn't care less about widgets. If I love her and respect her, I'm not just going to say, well, that's your thing, you go do that over there, or don't do that thing because I don't like it, and how dare you like it. I'm going to say, well, you know, it's not really my thing, but tell me what you think are great about widgets, because I want to try to see them through your eyes and understand why you like them so much.
And he's going to do it with a real interest, even if he has to grow into it, not kind of just groaning through the whole process of because I like it, he has to put up with it.
Because really, you know, the key to a happy marriage in general is that I love my wife more than I love my comfort zone. And
vice versa.
And vice versa, right? And so, you know, what I'm seeing here, and especially when you say that you feel that this isn't just about religion, but anytime you guys don't see eye to eye, she has a hard time appreciating what you find good about the things that you find good. That's not a religion issue. That's a deeper respect issue. And the reason that's important is because if it's just a religion issue, then, you know, people feel like, well, I could tiptoe around that. But if it's more of a respect, and you, I mean, you shouldn't anyway, but if it's more of a respect issue.
But it is what you're doing. I'll go to Mass, and I'll go to the service non-denominational, and I'll do this, and I'll hide me praying the rosary, and I'll tiptoe around this and walk on eggshells just to keep the peace.
But if it's a respect issue, as I suspect it is, then that gives you kind of more leverage to kind of go to your wife directly and say, look, I understand you're not in the same place that I am with this, and that's okay. I appreciate that. But I insist that you at least respect me enough to try to see what's good about the things that I find true, good, and beautiful in
all the
my
things.
Catholic faith, in my interest in this, or my love of that, or my passion for this other thing, and you don't. And that's really undermining the core of our marriage, and we need to look at that. Either in conversations with each other or getting some professional help for it. But it's a deeper problem. Now, the other thing I'm going to suggest to you is, I don't know, it doesn't sound like you guys are praying together about any of this. And when I say praying together about it, I don't mean saying prayers about it. I mean actually going to God every day and saying, you know, Lord, I know what I want, and I know what my wife knows what she wants. But help us to know what you want for our family, and help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure that out.
And spell out some of that in the course of your out loud prayer together. Lord, I want the salvation of the souls of all of my family. I want my children to walk closely with you. I want my wife and I to have a faith-filled, faith-based
I want us to be able
marriage.
To respect each other
exactly.
And really be able to see the things that are good about the things that each of us loves.
Say it out loud while you're together praying, and let her talk to God about what her real desires for her children, for her marriage, for her life are. When you bring all of this to Christ in prayer, it allows you to open both your hearts and your minds, and it allows the Holy Spirit to come in and work out solutions we didn't know could be worked out.
And if you're concerned that she wouldn't be interested in working on this, because, I mean, and often the person who is not being respectful is not willing to work on it, because why should they? They're getting everything they want. So why should they want to change, right? Then I would encourage you to start working, either with somebody you trust locally or with us through CatholicCounselors.com, to learn how to be appropriately strong as that godly husband in your household, that it's not dictating things, but is leading the home. And when we talk about headship as Catholics, we don't mean that the husband gets to be a part-time pagan deity in the household dictating the agenda. It means that he facilitates the process by which we as a family figure out what God is calling us to. And right now, the lack of respect that your wife has shown you has put you in a place where you're afraid to exercise that authority to facilitate that process, where you're discerning things together and praying about things together and having real conversations about things. And so if we can do anything to support you in that, I hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But if you take nothing else from the call, at least take the idea that this isn't just a religious differences problem. This is a deeper problem that affects the heart of your marriage. And I want you to frame it that way when you talk about it with your wife so that she can understand what the issue really is here. In fact, I'd love for you to download the podcast of this show, play this response for her, and really start letting that be a springboard for deeper conversation and deeper prayer together to discern what God is calling your family to instead of just how you both feel about these different issues. With that, we have to head out, but thank you so much for tuning in today on More to Life. If you are looking for ways to overcome that disease to please, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.